group, composed, I suppose, of a number of geniuses. We shall see. In any case, will you welcome, please, the very ugly and very talented Frank Zappa and the Mothers of Invention. I've seen you somewhere before.
Yeah, back there a minute ago.
Yeah. That was real sweet. Tell me something. Now, did my ears deceive me, or two things? Is something still humming backstage, and was that in German?
Both are correct.
Yeah. Can you explain either of those?
Well, I can explain the German.
I thought I'd better ask you about the lyrics for our non-Teutonic viewers. I wonder if I should ask you about the lyrics.
You want to read?
Well,
may it sound better if you read them, because you're professional. Why don't you start?
I
am the sky.
You want me to just read this right
now?
Yeah,
interpret the...
All right. Well, I'll leave that part out. No. Divan, divan, I am near. Do you know who I am? I am here. Why don't you do it in German as I do in English?
I don't do the German pronunciations.
Oh.
You get the assistance.
I am the sky, I am the water, I am the dirt beneath your rollers. I am your secret smut and lost metal money down your cracks. I am your cracks and crannies. I am clouds. I am embroidered. I am the author of all tucks and damask piping. I am the chrome dinette. I am eggs of all persuasions. I am days and nights. All days and nights. I am here. And you are my sofa.
Listen.
That would have been my first guess, what the lyrics were. Who wrote that? Is that anyone we know?
I wrote that.
Did you?
Whoops.
That's all right. You affect the environment around you. Can you wait a minute?
Yeah.
Hanging with Frank Zappa. I never expected to be, for some reason. I mean, by that, you're seldom on television.
Yes,
is there
probably a reason for that.
What would it be?
Nobody ever invites us to go on television. I was surprised that you invited us to go on television. Obviously, you got more guts than the next guy.
No, I thought it was a group of inventors, actually, who were coming on. I don't listen to much music, and I...
Well, I've heard worse.
And said worse, probably, which may have something to do with not being on very often. But didn't you have a radio problem, too? Your stuff, although it's very well known, is not often, well, more lately played, I guess, on... Given airplay, as they say in the trade.
Let's face it, there is a censorship problem in this country that the Constitution never considered, you know.
Musically.
Oh, in all ways.
Lyrically.
Let's be honest about it. Dick, you're in TV, you ought to know. Don't they watch to make sure that you don't get out of it every once in a while?
No, I can say just about anything I want. In fact, have. I have any problem. But, hey, how old are you, Frank?
I'm 30.
You're 30, the magic age.
Mm.
And Lennon is 30.
Is he?
Yeah. Do you know John?
Yeah, I met him before.
Huh? Yeah. Are you amused by each other? Do you get along?
We had a few amusing hours that time we played the Fillmore together.
Mm-hmm.
I'd never met him before that. He was brought over to the hotel by Howard Smith. He wanted to surprise me. So
yeah.
He was supposed to do an interview in the afternoon, so he sneaked up to the hotel room. He had his little cassette machine all ready, knocked on the door. I just woke up. I come half-dressed, come to the door. He goes, "Hi, Frank, I'm here to do the interview. I brought my friends along. Here's John and Yoko." And I was supposed to go eek and fall backwards into the doorway. So I said, "Okay, come on in and sit down."
Yeah.
And so we sat around and talked for a while, and he says, "Oh, you're not as ugly as your pictures."
Silver-tongued.
No. So he had just got a haircut and a shave, and I told him that he looked a lot cleaner too. So we had an immediate rapport on that level. You know what I mean?
I know exactly what you mean. Does it seem odd to be 30? So much has been made of that age. You know, they said nobody would ever listen to rock over 30, and certainly nobody would ever play it who's over 30. At least that's.
Well, we have a wide age range in our rocking teenage combo.
Yeah.
Don Preston is 39, rapidly approaching that other mystical age, you know.
Yeah.
And
he's really over the hill, isn't he?
Well, I wouldn't say so. You know, he's real macrobiotic and everything.
Oh. Well, that's good.
He's very well preserved for 39.
Looks like a well-preserved 50, but... Now, some people do. You know, I know people who are on macrobiotic diets, and they've... They look awful.
Yeah.
You can abuse the macrobiotic diet.
Well, Don looks awful too sometimes, but he's well preserved.
But it's not connected with the diet, necessarily. What about the movie you're doing? It has Ringo Starr in it, I know.
Mm-hmm.
Why is he in a movie of yours?
Why not?
Well, that's true too. On the other hand, why?
Well, I thought that he might be interested in doing it. You know,
I
sometimes have ideas that people might be interested in doing things that are outside of their normal line of work or the you know, things they normally do, just because one day they might want to flip out. You know? So I went over to him and I said, "How would you like to be Larry the Dwarf?" And I showed him the script, and he says, "You know, I've been getting a bit browned off with my good guy image, and I think I'll do this." So he did it.
Well, let's alter his image forever now.
I think that people will see Ringo Starr in a different light after 200 Motels.
The name of the movie is 200 Motels, which you might imagine has something to do with the life of a musical artist traveling around the country staying in hundreds of motels.
You might imagine that.
And if you did, you'd be right. Do you want to see a piece of the flick, film, celluloid, or... Frank, can you kind of set us up for this? Tell us what happened just before this, or does that matter in this movie?
Yeah, I'll tell you what happened just before this. Jimmy Carl Black has just met up with Rance Mohammeds, who is a sort of a devil character that appears in the film. Rance is played by Theodore Bikel, and Jimmy Carl Black is played by himself. And they're having an argument in a redneck restaurant. And the devil has been trying to induce Jimmy Carl Black to sign in blood for a bottle of mystery beer with fuming vapors coming out of it. And Jimmy Carl Black has just taken, Rance has given him a pin out of his hat and handed it to him and suggested that he jab himself in the finger with it and sign in blood. And Jim Black has just taken the pin and stabbed the devil with it instead. And the devil blows up into a red cloud, and Ringo emerges out of the cloud and says the immortal words that you're going to see here.
This is from Dickens, isn't it?
Okay. It's a regular rock and roll movie, you know.
Here's a scene from 200 Motels. Oh, don't crack your knuckles. It's bad for them.
Hello there. When you go on tour with a musical group, it's possible that any town can seem like this. Whether it's large or small or busy, or if there's nothing happening in it. The reason for this is quite simple. A musician, if you consider the normal pattern of modern civilized life, is on the outside of it all. He doesn't build things, he doesn't work regular hours like a decent God-fearing citizen, and the life he leads in many ways seems useless and irrelevant to those of us who prefer a quiet evening in front of the television and a bottle of beer. Amazing as it might seem to some of us, musicians have basic physical needs, just like real people. Many of them study for years, learning to play the violin, for instance, only to be rewarded with a humdrum job in the fourth row of a symphonic string section. That's why the government have constructed, at great expense, this experimental reorientation facility. To find a way, perhaps, to retrain these useless old musicians with their brown fiddles and little horns. Give them a trade, a reason to exist in a modern world, a chance of a happier, more productive life. Some will enter the military, some will learn shorthand, and some will disappear in the middle of the night on a special train they're sending in. It's the only way, really, to bring about the final solution to the orchestra question. I'm sure that many of us realize that a pop group can earn a vast amount of money compared to these other kinds of musicians. That's why the special government agencies for mass response programming and psychological stultification prefer to treat them in a more subtle manner. They know, just as many of you vigilant and thoroughly upstanding citizens have discovered for yourselves, the power of pop music to corrupt and putrefy the minds of world youth are virtually limitless.
Same old Ringo.
Yeah, same old Ringo.
Is the film playing all over the country now, or is it just just released?
I'll tell you what happened with it. They were going to open it in four test markets to see whether or not anybody would go and see it. And so the four test markets did real good, and they were going to open it up nationwide after the first of the year. But the first four places did so good, they started scrounging theaters all over the place. So it's popping up every day.
How much musical education have you got?
Quite a bit out of a library and listening to records.
But not formal?
I had one semester of harmony and theory in a junior college.
Which one?
Chaffey Junior College, Ontario, California.
But some of the guys in your group, or guys who've been in your group anyway, have master's degrees in music.
Oh, yes. We have the world-renowned Ian Underwood with a bachelor's and a master's.
We'll take a message and we'll be right back. Many faceted musical talent. Another side of Frank Zappa and the Madres of Invention.